We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, everybody.
We are the Pettiest Bills Podcast.
I'm not bright enough for all of that.
Drew Gator.
Because I thrive off negativity, it's just more hackery from a charlatan and a carpetbagger.
The Rock Pile Report.
My blood pressure's rising.
He gave him Coors at banquet beers out of spite.
The Pettiest, Hardest Drinking Bills Podcast.
I'll go to hell and back just to prove a point. Everybody to another edition of the Rock Pile Report podcast. I'm your host, Bill's season ticket holder, Drew Gear. That's my producer, Chris Krueger. And Chris, what is it about you sit here and you talk about recent events, right? Like, this is going to become a theme kind of our off season. We shift into this gear where we do Bill's news updates. You know, we hit everybody with a funny sounder, and like, you think about, like, should I do this like Walter Cronkite? This is the news. But at the same time, it doesn't matter. Like, that almost sounds like Sulu. But most people aren't old enough to know, or how many people do you think know if I make a Sulu reference? How many people do you think get that?
I didn't.
Of course you didn't, because you don't watch anything.
No.
You talk about the news, and it's just funny because rarely ever is it like Buffalo, New York. When we are in the news, it's usually for something either because of a snowstorm or because of our football team, correct?
Yeah.
What are some other occasions you think Buffalo has been in the national spotlight that you can think of off the top of your head?
McKinley probably has something to do with it. That's the first thing that pops into my mind.
Bill Clinton.
President getting shot.
Isn't Bill Clinton the last president? Like, it was McKinley, and then decades of no ever presidents like, fuck Buffalo. We're never going back there again. And then Bill Clinton came here to push Al Gore. My mom took me to that as a child. It was actually really funny. We went down to at the time, it was HSBC Arena. Or was it Marine Midland still?
What year was it? Well, if it was 96, 97, it was Marine Midland.
Yeah, so it would have been Marine Midland Arena, not even HSBC yet. And we basically called in sick to school to go, because my mom was like, the U.S. president's going to be in Buffalo. This is a momentous occasion. My kids should be there to see, like, presidents are here in our city. This is pretty cool. And listen to them speak, and I'm in maybe ninth grade, so I don't really understand. Like, none of this makes much sense to me. Maybe it was even eighth grade. And you're just like, cool, I'm here. The president's here. He's talking about a whole bunch of things that I can't really wrap my head around, but it's cool that I'm here. And I get to see him, and you see all of the pomp and circumstance. And then the news stops my mother on the sidewalk. And of course, my mom, like the chatty Cathy she is just, oh, well, I'll tell you what I think. And, blah, blah, blah. And here's me, just an idiot, literally with a finger in my nose in the background of the shot. Never does it occur to me that that's going to come back and bite me in the ass because we told everybody I was homesick and now I'm on TV. And so I go back to school and everyone's like, oh, hey, so you were real sick yesterday, huh? It's like, oh, no, the jig is up. I remember that. Like, I remember that day more for the finger in the nose than actually seeing, especially when, Chris, you're at an arena and you're watching a president. Like, you've seen concerts in that place. You can't see people.
Yeah.
But that's like Buffalo doesn't make it to national headlines very often. And yet this week, Monday, April 8th, 3:13 p.m., Buffalo, New York is going to be the epicenter of every stargazing nerd's wet dream. The total solar eclipse. I guess the last time this happened, my mother was a teenager. The U.S. itself won't see another one of these for 20 years, at least. According to nerd prognostication, according to kayak.com, right? Everyone goes, okay, so what? Buffalo's going to have the solar eclipse. So what? According to kayak.com, now Kayak is what, a second tier? Like, if you're trying to book a vacation, who do you go to first?
Expedia. That's where I go first.
Because they're the one you think of. They are the name brand, they're the household name. And then maybe, like, I guess Kayak is trying to be second. Like, what else is out there? There's, like, if you're just looking for a hotel, it's booking.com.
Travelocity.
There's Travelocity. Would you go to Kayak or Travelocity first?
Travelocity.
Okay. So you're talking about a third-rate vacation planning, trip planning website in Kayak.com. According to their flight data, the hotels and everything else to like other places where this, not only what's happened, what they're seeing, but then also where like similar events, not a total eclipse, but like close to total eclipses have been happening. So like imagine these eclipses are a really cool band and there's a whole bunch of dorks out there just like, you know how some people be like, oh yeah, man, I used to follow Fish when they were on tour. And then they'll tell you how much blotter they did. And you go, man, it's not even called that anymore. That's not even what this is called. Between 2 and 4 million people travel the United States just to see almost eclipses. And Chris, if you want to throw the graphic up there on YT just so that people can see it, there are varying stages of a solar eclipse. For things that come close, there are millions of people willing to travel to see these things. Buffalo is getting, like, anything that's in the quote-unquote path of totality. It's a 3,000% increase of travel to the Buffalo region compared to this time last year. Over 1.3 million people are expected to hit, like, the greater western New York area to, like, central New York. Kind of stretching to the Adirondacks because it's kind of the edge of like where you can really get the full effect. This is going to be chaos. I've already had it. The eclipse and everybody involved can kick rocks. All right, I've had enough. Am I the only person who is already sick and tired of not only hearing about this, but just imagining what this is going to be like here?
I mean, I don't care about it at all. I mean, all the hotels locally can do all their laundry on a delicate cycle because nobody's going to have soiled sheets because none of these people are getting fucking laid that are coming here. That's not happening.
Here's what's hilarious about that, Chris. Hotel rooms right now, if you gave it a goog and just looked, April 8th, the night of April 8th or the night of April 7th, just for a lark, Google a local hotel and see what the rates are. I've heard that they are through the roof. Some places are asking like $1,000 a night. Airbnb prices have skyrocketed because they're trying to take advantage of all of these people who are flying around trying to get cash. Now, hopefully the Hampton Inn and some of these corporate places, they are a little bit more price like. Hopefully they wouldn't engage in that kind of price gouging like what you're seeing on the Airbnb market. But it would be interesting to see, $138 a night. Is there anything available?
I got to pull it up.
Okay, so while you're looking at that, because I'm just interested, I like a Hampton Inn. In fact, if we were talking about budget hotels, the Hampton Inn is probably one of the best. See, these are still reasonably priced. Good.
Well, I don't know the dates on these. Oh. I gotta do the dates.
So either way, Airbnb prices are skyrocketing all over the city. There are some places that are engaging in price gouging for specifically that weekend. Wegmans is closing for 30 minutes because they want their staff to be able to go and enjoy this momentous occasion. And you go, okay, cool. That's the Hampton Inn has no rooms available. It's already booked, Chris.
Yeah, that's the one in West Seneca.
Yeah. Wegmans has also declared itself. There's stupid signage, but well-made signage everywhere, calling themselves your Eclipse Party Headquarters. We're throwing parties for this shit now? Chris, it's 30 minutes of everybody's life. You're going to get blackout during a blackout. That's what you're telling me?
Yeah.
The city is apparently going to be crawling with dorks and weirdos from out of town.
There you go.
Stargazers and people. Yeah.
This is Hampton Inn on Camp Road in Hamburg.
So the Hampton Inn generally runs 110 to 140 a night. But that night, if you want to book a hotel, they've increased their prices 100% to $259 to $264 a night. Everybody here has lost their damn mind over this. And it's going to be, like, it's a travel phenomenon. People are telling, like, it's been already declared a state of emergency. They're telling people not to travel if you don't have to. They're encouraging employers to close for the day. They're giving kids off of school if they can swing it because they're like, well, don't do this because we don't want traffic on the roads.
Where I go for PT,
mm-hmm.
They're closed.
Of course they are. Because a bunch of idiots, like, imagine... Imagine how stupid you would feel if you showed up here after traveling from halfway across the country and booking a pair of hotel rooms. You booked a hotel room for two nights at 150% cost per night. And it's fucking cloudy and you don't even get to see it. Like, what? It's Buffalo in April. This is 100% a possibility. Wouldn't you feel like a dumbass?
Fortunately, right now it calls for mostly sunny, high of 61. That could change.
You know some of those people who shelled out are sweating bullets right now watching that weather.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. You want to talk about a solar eclipse? I would have more interest in this thing if you told me that there was a chance the sun might just explode and kill us all. I might care about that a little bit. Maybe. Well,
the only eclipse that I care about is... Bonnie Tyler. Total eclipse of the heart. It's all I care about.
I love it, man. It's just like, listen, this is what... Like, there's no news out there, right? There's nothing to get excited about anymore, and the news that is out there is just depressing or it sucks. Or it just... It kind of leans into just how stupid we're all becoming. Now, for those of you who are astrology nerds, I'm assuming Jake is one, right? Like, Jake has to be one. I mean, Jake is into meteorology.
I guess. I don't know what one of our listeners would be into that.
Hey, guys, let us know in the comments on YouTube. Go to YouTube and comment. I swear, right hand to Jesus, I'll read them. Chris, the news, there's nothing going on this time of year, is there?
No.
Do you think that that's why this is such, like, it's making headlines the way that it is?
Yeah, probably. I mean, we can get into some news because we didn't get to talk about it at all. But the day before that I got married,
mm-hmm.
last Thursday,
mm-hmm.
I got a speeding ticket on the 190. Yeah.
Oh, I like this.
Yes, I got a speeding ticket. It was sweet.
It was sweet? Well, here, you need to do what I did in Pennsylvania. Just don't pay it for a couple. Like, let it go for like a month. Let it marinate.
Well, I'm due in court on the 24th.
I like how you put that in quotes.
But I don't have to go because I marked on my ticket guilty and I mailed it in.
See, now look at this. You pled guilty.
You know, you ready for this? So when I got pulled over, that ticket was in the mail 25 minutes later. That's how fast.
It almost beat you home?
Yeah. Yeah, that ticket got to downtown Buffalo before that cop signed off on his shift.
That's amazing.
Yeah. The dude was completely cool.
Because he knows he has you. Why would he not be cool?
Well, I mean, you could be, like, there's a lot of conversation of, you know, cops being dicks, but I gave him my license, and he was like, Mr. Krueger, is that how we pronounce that? I'm like, you nailed it. And then he goes, all right, I got you doing, I think, 76 and a 55. And I go, that sounds about right.
That sounds right.
Yeah. And easy peasy, Japanesey, no problems. He was a nice guy. Just gave him the ticket. I was pulled over for maybe about not even 10 minutes.
It's a shocker what happens when you break the law, and then you just level with the cop. You go, look, you got me. You pulled on the road stops. You got the tater.
Yeah. I got pulled over right before I was exiting Ogden. I was in the left lane. And I was in the left lane, but he was parked, like, under the bridge just before Ogden. And
he gotcha.
Well, no. I didn't see him based on the cars in the middle lane and the right lane. He was just – I just didn't see him. And then I got parallel with him. And then he cut my brother off to come after me. And I immediately got over.
Because you knew.
Yeah, I knew. I knew. He put his lights on before I was, like, half a second before I was, like, on the shoulder.
Because you're like, no, I know I'm getting pulled over. I'll just stop here.
Yeah. And then my brother sent me a gift from Super Troopers because he just watched me get pulled over.
That had to be the best to be in your brother's shoes and be like, I just got to watch my idiot brother get pulled over. I would have come back and heckled. I would have tried to find a way to get back off, circle back around to another exit, come back for a pass, and then just go real slow and just give you the thumbs down out the window.
Well, the one thing the cop told me was like, I'm in like a no tolerance policy from my boss. So there's no, just tell me it's the end of the month.
Just say it's the end of the month. You gotta make quota, man. I'm not here to judge you. My favorite was when I got pulled over in Canandaigua and actually talked my way out of a ticket for, it was a yellow light and I punched it just to try to skirt underneath it. And this cop just blew a U-turn on Main Street in Canandaigua as you get off the highway, as you're going towards the Finger Lakes.
Did you bring that up? You're pulling me over for going through a yellow. Let's talk about you making that illegal turn.
So what I did was I pointed to him because it's like a busy drag and there's not a lot of room. People are parked on the street. It's messy.
Are we talking like a Southwestern?
Yeah. Like imagine something like that, except there's a median and I don't want to clog it down to one lane. So I'm trying to do the smart thing. And I just go like this out my window. Like I'm pointing to the cop going, I'm going to get over. I know what you're doing. Meet me on the side street. So I pull over and he comes out. He goes, do you know why I pulled you over? I go, because your eyes work? And he just started laughing. He goes, yeah, well, you know what? You could have waited for the light. Why'd you roll it like that? I go, because I didn't think you were there. And he burst out laughing. And he ended up letting me go. Because I'm just like, yeah, I broke the law. I didn't think you'd see it. I'm sorry.
I haven't heard back yet for how much my ticket is. But
oh, it's good. They're going to get you.
I've seen a maximum fine of 300, but that's 10 to 30 over. So I was 21 over, so my brain is calculating in the 250 area.
What you need to do is not pay it for a set amount of time until they issue the bench warrant. Like, pay it the week that they threaten you with it, just so you have that piece of paper like I do. Like, I've got it at home, saved for posterity. When the state of Pennsylvania was like, there is an active bench warrant with your name on it, I was like, yes, this is amazing.
It'd be interesting to know how Mark Smith would have got me off from that ticket.
He wouldn't have. He would have walked in, seen your stupid face, and been like, no, I can't do this. He's like, listen, Chris, I'll show up. I'll go to bat for you. He'd walk in, take one look at you, and go, nah, I can't. Look at that stupid hair. But guys, I don't know.
You know, the only request I would have if Mark came downtown with me,
what's that?
On my behalf, is that he'd have to come downtown dressed like Jeff Daniels from Dumb and Dumber.
In the suit with the coattails?
Yeah. Well, either a blue, a light blue, or an orange suit.
I'll tell you what, for as many L's as you and I have taken with the highway authorities, it's still not as many as the Buffalo Bills, and that's kind of the centerpiece of tonight's conversation as we get into this week's Bills News Update. There is now another, not just a new, but another new chief operating officer of the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres. There seems to be a never-ending saga going on over at Pegula Sports and Entertainment. And like
doesn't exist.
Well, yeah, that no longer exists. But listen, that's part of the chaos here. We here in Buffalo, like, we're so focused on the teams. When you look at that, like, Chris, if you ask any Sabres fan how they feel about things right now, they'll tell you they're angry, right? Backslide, this, that, Granato, Kevin Adams. If you ask a Bills fan, you know what they'll tell you? They're probably frustrated. They go, well, we pissed away another year of a competitive window. Our coaching isn't, you know, is or isn't adequate. Our roster is or isn't adequate. Our quarterback takes too many chances, blah, 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 blah. And everybody's looking at it at this level. And I almost feel like that's the only reason there isn't, like, if the Bills were doing well, if the Bills had made the title game, if the Bills had made the Super Bowl and lost, still not won a ring, but lost, and the Sabres were flirting with a wild card spot, right? Seriously contending, rather than this kind of mockery they've put together over the last month. Everyone would be giving Terry and, like, I think that, like, you'd be like, oh, well, things are going well. Things are trending up here. We're doing all the right things. What is this mess going on in the background that no one is paying attention to? Because the average sports fan is just focused on what's right in front of them. But the reality is that what goes on behind that might have something to do with some of the action or inaction that you're seeing going on in front. I want to break down for you, and in order to do that, and for those of you who are watching us on YouTube, you're going to get to see what it looks like when I cut loose with PowerPoint. I've put together a timeline of Pegula Sports and Entertainment history, because their ownership here as a part of, like, ownership of our franchises has been one of the more chaotic ones in recent history that I can remember, and yet Terry Pegula catches no shit for this. And I don't know that that's fair or not. Now, Chris, do you know when did Terry Pegula buy the Sabres?
2011, 2012.
Okay. So they bought it from Golisano, if I remember this correctly.
Yep.
They immediately come in and declare that this is going to be hockey heaven. We are going to pump money and resources, and we're going to buy players, and we're going to remove the internal salary cap, and we're going to be a destination city and a team for hockey that every player wants to play at and that people talk about like it's Valhalla.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Have we made the playoffs during his ownership?
No.
Okay. So let's start here. There's, because what I'm about to lay out for you guys in this timeline doesn't even take the Sabres into account, but I just want, so you understand what I'm talking about, and that it's not just cemented to one like one poorly run organization. If I was going to include the Sabres side of things, we would have to talk about the fact that they hired Ted Black and then fired Ted Black like 2 years later.
Yeah.
With nary a word about it, no explanation given as to why your president of hockey operations is gone. And then you bring in Buffalo Wall of Famer Pat LaFontaine. And he holds the title of president of hockey operations for exactly 4 months. And then he quits. And he quits this job, and I have it on good authority, because he was tired of working with Kim. Kim Pegula was allowed to have a voice in the room even though she knew nothing about hockey. And Terry's attitude was, well, I kind of, like, I'm the guy, and I gave her the hockey team as, like, her thing. And so you kind of have to value her input. And Pat LaFontaine goes, listen, now you're talking about a Pat LaFontaine who worked for Donald Yee down there for the Islanders.
Yep.
And he quit on him, too, because he was like, I'm not anybody's yes man. I will tell you what I think makes hockey sense, and if you don't like it, you can kick rocks. I'll just leave, and you can do it yourself. So this is a guy who had already proven that he has scruples and he's willing to act on them. And when you have him saying, listen, we brought you in because we think you have hockey sense, but you also have to listen to Kim. He was like, no, I'm not doing this. This is ridiculous. And he quit. It's like, you're talking about a franchise that gutted its hospitality and PR departments during the pandemic and then couldn't hire afterwards, or just didn't hire, and had this embarrassing string of fan and player-related disasters. Do you remember the time they brought in alumni to give out turkeys on Thanksgiving, and the jerseys that they had were Chinese knockoffs and one of the names was spelled wrong?
Yeah.
Like, this is a professional sports organization. But we're not even going to talk about this. I'm not even including that in my timeline. I want to keep this because this is a Bills podcast. I just want to talk about how these things impact the Buffalo Bills. And I want to share for you how frustrating it is to see that we now have a new... It's frustrating. It's aggravating to me that we have a new chief operating officer. Let's run through the timeline together, kids. And again, if you're on YouTube, you can see this thing in all of its glory. In 2014, the Buffalo Bills bought by Terry Pegula. And Russ Brandon, who at the time was the HR president, president of football ops. I mean, Chris, he was running the show. When Ralph Wilson passed and the Wilson family said, listen, we're kind of done here. We're detached, as if they weren't already. Russ Brandon had already been running the show for years quietly, but he got handed the baton and they were just like, all right, this is your thing to run until you're the president of the team. Well, Terry Pegula buys the team, has PSE, the organization that's going to own both franchises, and says, we want Russ Brandon to be the guy at the top of all of this. And everyone goes, all right, the PR guy is out of our organization and he's doing a thing he should be doing, which is overseeing and doing back office stuff. He shouldn't be hiring GMs because he's a bad... Chris, do you know, remember the bad GMs?
I don't really want to talk about him.
Did you remember the decisions that got made under his fuck? I mean, he kept the team here, so good for him. You found a way to make this thing work.
Let's move training camp from Fredonia to Rochester.
But it worked. It regionalized the team, and now you have Rochester people who drive 100 miles, 200 miles in a single Sunday to watch the team play. Because you tapped into a market that you needed in order to keep the team afloat. He's a smart guy. And then in 2018, Russ Brandon resigns amid scandal. He resigns in scandal, and Kim Pegula takes over as the head of PSE. Now that gets a 4-year run. And that's when you run into all the problems with Pat LaFontaine and all these other things that are going on within the Sabres organization and all of these ugly things that are happening there. Meanwhile, the Bills are starting to run like a well-oiled machine. We've broken the drought. We have a GM who looks like he knows what he's doing. The team is really hitting its stride. And then Kim falls ill, and Ron Rakuya steps in. You know, he's now the PSE executive vice president, and he's the most powerful man in the building. That's in 2022. And Ron Rakuya becomes the most public-facing figure at the onset of these stadium talks. He's heavily involved in the negotiations with Kathy Hochul, our state's governor. He's the public-facing figure. Whenever there's a Q&A about the stadium, or whenever there's a news bite to be given, or whether there's an interview to be done about what's happening with the stadium, it's always Ron Rakuya giving the sound bites. He is the face of the Buffalo Bills as far as this project is concerned. We get the car into the garage. The deal gets signed. Everybody pops champagne. And then Ron Rakuya is immediately fired. Immediately fired in 2023. Terry Pegula fires Ron Rakuya over what he called poor bedside manner. And then he had a bad attitude. They go, he was abrasive. Kathy Hochul didn't want him involved in negotiations. Can I say something here, Chris? Think about who politicians are. They're bullshitters, right?
Yeah.
If I had to deal with politicians on a regular basis, I would like for them to not like me. I almost feel like that's a good thing. It's a mark of character. It means I believe in a certain set of things, and regardless of your office, I'm not willing to take your bullshit. That's just me. It's the way I approach my job. It's the way I approach most things. I don't care about your title. I'm just going to do I'm going to try to accomplish what I have to accomplish, regardless of you, your title, your gravitas. And if that ends up biting me in the ass, so be it. All right? You live and die by the sword. And that's what Ron Rakuya did. And Terry Pegula, when he took over as president, was like, well, everybody's complaining about this guy and how hard he is to work with and how abrasive he is behind the scenes, so we got to get rid of him. So now Terry's in charge. Now, you've now gone through two leadership changes in terms of PSE. He promotes John Roth as the chief operating officer. Now, I just want to check my own notes here just to make sure that I've still got this timeline down properly, right? John Roth in his COO, and Kathy DeAngelo, or is it Kathy? Something with a K. Kathy Kendra kinda doesn't matter because you don't work here anymore. But Kathy DeAngelo, which was general counsel, comes in as the SVP. Yes, Catherine DeAngelo. God, nailed it. These are going to be the people who support Terry Pegula. He goes, listen, we'll promote from within. I trust this person. I trust that person. They're going to come up the ranks, and they're going to help support me as I am now acting president of Pegula Sports Entertainment. 2024 starts, Chris, and what happens?
You're fired.
No. Even before they got fired.
Oh, yeah, there's no more PSE.
There is no more PSE. He now gets insight from his hired people, these new support structures that he's brought in, that there doesn't need to be a Pegula Sports Entertainment anymore. No. We dissolve this whole thing and let the Sabres and Bills be their own entities again. And you go, well, wait a minute. What the fuck did we just do all this for? We just spent a whole decade shuffling deck chairs around. We've gone from anointing Russ Brandon, buying the Bills, creating PSE, anointing Russ Brandon. In 10 years, we've gone through 1, 2, 3, 4 different leadership changes. And now we're saying dissolve the whole thing. Fuck it. We don't need this business. Everyone will go back to being their own separate parties. That was at the beginning of this calendar year. A couple weeks ago, the news breaks that, shocker, newly promoted COO John Roth and SVP Catherine DeAngelo are both fired amid another inter-office scandal. They're calling it brazen, quote unquote, in the New York Post. Apparently, Chris, it happened like it came to a head, literally and figuratively, at the England game. Where they like, oh, a little quid pro quo, a little inappropriate relationship stuff. It's just a whole ugly mess. So now they both have to be fired. And then last week they announced the hire of Bills and Sabres. So even though the companies have been separated, they now have one COO in Pete Guiley.
He gets two paychecks?
I'm assuming. Since they're separate companies now, he gets two paychecks. It's exhausting watching a bit. Like, if this, take the football team and the hockey team out of it for a second. If I were to tell you that there was a corporation in Buffalo that had changed leadership five times in a 10-year window, you would tell me that that's a bad company, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
You probably wouldn't go work there if leadership is constantly changing, the structure of the company is constantly changing. No one ever knows what's going on. They're always understaffed. Things are always falling by the wayside. It sounds like a real shit show over there in Terry Pegula's end. Something that was touched on in a couple pieces. It's been mentioned by our friend Tyler Dunn over at GoLongTD.com in a couple of his pieces. It's been mentioned by Tim Graham. His work over at The Athletic and some of the other things, that some of the public interviews he's done. Multiple people who have talked to, I think, all relevant parties involved. There was the dynamic of Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott signing their original extensions here with Buffalo a few years ago revolved around the idea that Terry Pegula, like, they were only going to sign if they got certain guarantees. Like, we've never seen their contracts. Those contracts will never be made public. But there were certain guarantees made to them that the chaos that was taking place over at One Bill or over at PSE in general, especially on the hockey side of things, wouldn't be allowed anywhere near the football operations, and that they would essentially be allowed to operate with autonomy. Don't they look like geniuses in the aftermath of this?
I guess.
It's like, look, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott were smart enough to look at what Terry Pegula is doing with this business and going, listen, this is a clusterfuck. And if you want to run that type of business, as long as my paychecks get cashed, I don't care. I'm going to keep showing up for work because I love my job. But also, I want certain guarantees that you are never you, and whatever fucked up thing you have going on over here is never going to bleed over into what we're doing. You stay over there with your mess, and you let us run this operation. You stay on the sidelines, you come down, you clap for photos. We don't want to hear from you, see from you. We don't want you in the offices during the week. Get out of here. All of you, we have built a company on our own and we run it well. You just sign the paychecks. That's been the dynamic, and you can see the stark contrast in the business that the Pegulas have had all their hands in versus the one that's been allowed to operate with autonomy. This one is thriving. This one is a mess. And yet the whole thing at the top, like this thing, it's like a fish. It's rotting from the head down. And so in this way, I, as a Bills fan, become concerned. Because I look at this and I say to myself, Terry Pegula, he's a billionaire. He's one of the richest men in America. He's one of the richer NFL owners. I don't ever believe that there will be a time when he's bankrupt and has to sell the team because he can't afford it. But one thing I've seen throughout this, and I hope my timeline paints a picture for you of, is this concept that this is an owner who has no ability to pick good people. The best decision he's ever made, was hiring Sean McDermott. Sean McDermott is the one who vouched for Brandon Bean and got him in the door. That might be the only smart hire Terry Pegula has ever made. Like, I don't know who he hires to clean his house. I don't know who he hires to pilot his mega yacht. Remember that? Super yacht? When everyone's like, oh, man. When they made the mistake of being like, we need to... And there's Kim Pegula on stage talking about how we need to right-size the company because we have to maintain a quality of life. And everyone's like, oh, the super yacht. They have to, guys, they can't afford a regular PR department. They have to gas up the super yacht. I don't know who he hires to drive that thing. I don't know who his cooking staff is. Maybe they're all world talents. But when it comes to business, for being a businessman himself, Terry Pegula sucks at appointing the right people. And it's constantly blowing up in his face. He's an older man now. And the question becomes, Chris, how much longer do you think he wants to keep fumbling around through this for?
Terry's like from Olean, right? Mm-hmm. I'm assuming he's going to want the teams in his name until he's 6 feet under.
Sure. But this business thing, like, he's not good at it. He's not good at the business of sports. Maybe in his day, fracking, he was good at that. He's terrible at this sports ownership thing.
Yeah,
he really is.
You got to at least get the right. You got to get the right guy in there to control everything, and then you can just sit on your yacht.
Yeah.
And make money.
At a certain point, when do we see him step away and his daughter take over?
Maybe the end of her tennis career.
I mean, that's got to be coming soon, right? Because I'll tell you this. He's what?
Well, that depends.
Well, how old is Terry Pegula?
I'll look that up. Depends how long tennis goes until they merge genders.
Of course you're going to take it there. Here's what I'll say. I'm tired of watching this organization. Like, and nobody, again, this is something nobody's talking about because everybody's worried about who are we going to draft and what are we going to do with, oh my God, what are the Sabres going to do this summer? How do we fix
this?
He's
73.
You've got a 73-year-old man owning your franchises and running them who just keeps putting his faith and his trust and kind of hoping like, okay, maybe this is the hire where I can just go sit on my boat. The Bills are running like a well-oiled machine, but it's only because they forced me to let them. I wish I could find somebody else, but he can't. And he just keeps stepping in it over and over and over again. At a certain point, this runs out of steam. Like, Chris, losing that often would take it out of a person, right?
Yeah.
Like, you would have to be, like, you think of all these fictional characters who have no self-awareness. You would have to be a real horse's ass to not realize, like, there's got to be some personal frustration. The people who are like, Terry Pegula doesn't care because he's so rich. People who are rich have egos. You know what egos don't do well with? Is constantly being handed L's. I'm sure Terry Pegula is beside himself about the fact that he can't nail a single hire without them banging someone in the office. Without them being involved in some kind of a scandal. It's like, why does this keep happening? It's like, well, because you keep finding these people. You hired Rex Ryan. You promoted Russ Brandon. You brought in these two people, promoted both of them, and then watched them quid pro quo their way right out the door. I just look at PSC and I say to myself,
that doesn't exist.
Well, yeah, I know, but and that's the point. I look at PSC and I say to myself, this is a sterling example of how this family does not have either of these organizations buttoned up from a business perspective. And there's a shelf life on that. You can't be bad at the business of a sport. You can be bad at the sport, but if you're good at the business side, you stick around forever. Look at Dan Snyder. Dan Snyder sucked. His football team sucked. Everything about them was awful, garbage. Like, you could... If you had packaged the franchise, their players, and their owner into a waste management truck and driven it to landfills, you might get turned away at some of them. They're like, we don't want that here. And yet, he found a way to keep that business running. The business never had any problems. The businesses here in Buffalo of conducting sports, which are supposed to just run themselves... Because this is a hobby. Like, this isn't even, we're not talking about government contracts. Maybe here and there, but we're not talking about executing manufacturing. There's no quotas to meet. There's nothing.
Commanders plus 750 right now on DraftKings to win the division. Might be a time to roll that now that you got a new owner, new leadership.
I'm just saying. Sports ownership is this, like, if there was ever a business to be involved in, the business of sports is a complex one, but it's not rocket science. Again, there's no deliverables. You run a business that literally is designed to not fail. You get a $200 million check every year, regardless of whether you're good or bad. If your product stinks, people still buy it. Most operations would shut down. And yet, we don't have to worry about that in the NFL because we keep them afloat. We'll watch it even if it's terrible. So they're kind of bulletproof. And yet you've found a way, Terry Pegula, to make this difficult.
What's this guy, Pete Gooley? Is that how you pronounce his
name? I say Gooley, who knows, but that almost sounds like the guy who hit the lady in...
Nancy Kerrigan.
Nancy Kerrigan, that's, like he yeah, hit that no, lady that, with a pipe.
No, that's Jeff that's Jeff Gooley.
Jeff Gooley?
I think it's Pete Gooley. My one problem with this hire.
Yeah.
Is the fact that...
Knowing that you don't know anything, I can't wait for this.
Well, I looked at the guy. I've seen photos of him.
Oh, no.
All right?
Oh, no.
I don't like that Pegula hired a guy who has a oral and nasal structure of a chimpanzee.
Oh, no!
You see that?
Oh, no! I'm never going to be able to unsee this!
Yeah, his nose and mouth...
He literally looks like a chimpanzee.
Yeah.
Oh, no. We're idiots, but holy crap. Guys, I mean, maybe this is the guy. Or maybe he's just one more monkey face chapter in the catastrophe that has been Terry Pegula's back office management of his sports franchises. Holy crap. I'm going to need to let this one marinate for a minute. Guys, hopefully you're watching this on YouTube because I can't. I'm never going to be able to unsee this when this guy speaks publicly. Oh, my God. Guys, I hope that next week we have better news to deliver during our news update. But for tonight, we got to get the hell out of here. I'm Drew Gear. That's Chris Krueger. And this has been your Rock Pile Report.